This is your resident chef, Big Eddie G. Make sure you stop by the Soul Kitchen every Monday night from 8 to 10 p.m. here on 88.5 WMNF. Each week I serve up a heavy portion of the best soul music, blended with a pinch of hip-hop, a little bit of jazz, and a dash of funk. Get your week started off the right way. The Soul Kitchen. Comfort food for your ears.
All right. This is the Sunday Forum with Walter L. Smith, second.
All right. We are back with the Sunday Forum. Let's see if we can get this on. And we are on air. Happy Mother's Day to all the mothers out there. And we are on air right now with my mom, Attorney Geraldine Williams. Hey, Mom. Can she hear me?
Yeah, go ahead.
Hey, Mom.
Hello.
Hey, all right. We had a little NPR action there, Mom.
Sounds good.
All right. So, we have some great stories as everybody can hear. Everybody's hearing some great stories today, right? And we are excited to have you here because there's so much to tell. There's so much to talk about in terms of your life and what you've done as a mother. And we just heard one story just now, which I do recall. As a matter of fact, I think Chuck was talking about it on one of his shows. Chuck Hobbs on his show was talking about that incident, actually, two incidents that we were in. One, when we were out and about in the vehicle and we started driving. This is when we all started driving and everything, and we got stopped by the police. But this one was one in particular that was interesting because it took place, as I recall, just after Rodney King. Just after Rodney King happened. And we were all public enemy down and, you know, fight the power, you know, and everything like that. And we were young, you know, and all we saw was, you know, my mom being, you know, having this confrontation with the police, you know, and we wanted to do something about it. You know, we wanted to, you know, we flexing and everything like that. But it shows that parents, like you were saying, Mom, is never, being a mother doesn't end. Being a parent doesn't end. Being a mother and being a parent does not end. It's ongoing. It's continuous. It's not necessarily seamless, but it certainly is continuous.
Yes, I agree with you.
Right?
Yes.
Definitely. Folks, listen, call in 813-239-9663. 813-239-9663. We want to hear from you this Mother's Day. Say happy Mother's Day to your mother this morning here on WMNF 88.5 Tampa, Sarasota, St. Pete. We love to hear from you folks, so call on in. Let's see if we can get this aux cord straight, man. Cause we gotta be able to play a little music here. My mom likes music.
Okay, yeah.
We're gonna fix that. But in the meantime, you know, for those callers, yeah, we got some calls that are coming in right now. Those people who are calling in, let's see if we can get those folks here. I'll answer this one here, Billy. See what this is. Knock, knock. And who's there? Hello. Welcome to the Sunday Forum.
Hi, Walter. Good morning. Chris Steiner here.
Hey, man. How you doing?
I'm well. Enjoying hearing the whole show so far and the anecdotes. And I have some to share, but I won't. Instead, how to prevent these unfortunate incidents from happening, where the cops sometimes can be helped by giving them just what's called a public servant questionnaire. It asks them things like their probable cause and reasonable articulable suspicion, and can this information be used against me? Of course, their answer has to be yes. And they have several other questions, but they always refuse to answer the questionnaire whenever I've had a situation where they don't seem to be behaving themselves. Their behavior, any misbehavior, rectifies after you're given them this, and you can find it at the Activism blog at my website at theliberationstation.com. I'd like to hear what your mom has to say about that and also about some of the other material on there, like how to get recourse in the courts under civil rights law, Title 42 of the U.S. Code, Section 1983 and following sections. And, you know, just so folks can know that they have some recourse. But you know, I've heard that, is it true that it's hard to find an attorney who will handle these cases because you're going to be meeting the same judges in the future who will rule against you and not in favor of your motions, et cetera. You know, of course, local law enforcement won't be as amenable in the future if you're going to go after police officers or other public servants. And also on that page is a lot of websites with police abuses, videos, things that are a lot harder hitting than you usually hear in the news, and which is why I think they're neglected most, because they are so conclusively showing that police are abusive and murdering people running away, say, unarmed and shot in the back, for example. Those are quite common. If you need me to repeat any of those questions, just go right ahead.
No problem. Listen, hang tight. We'll and thanks for your call. We appreciate it. Mom, let's see if we got Mom.
She's let's there, see. But I can't hardly hear.
We can just barely hear you, Mom.
Okay,
Mom.
I don't know what happened to her line, but she's still there.
She's still there. I can hear her faintly. Mom.
Yeah.
Oh, there okay, we are. There we go. Hey.
And we got all another caller on, along with her.
Yep, got another caller on it. So, did you hear the comments that were made?
Yes, I did. Okay. And I made notes. So go ahead and get your other caller, and I can respond.
Okay, all right. Let's do that. Let's
go
do
ahead,
that.
Caller.
Caller?
Yes, good morning. Peace and blessings.
Happy Mother's Day. First of all, don't you start with that peace and blessings. Let me start with Happy Mother's Day. How are you?
Well, brother, I'm still in the game. And
Sister Connie?
I just wanted to call and thank you for that. I know this is the time, you know, the year we be shifting, and rightfully so, to the mothers and grandmothers, sisters, aunties that continue to do that heavy lifting. I would just like to, like, encourage our women of the unfinished work that we must continue. I think your mother laid it out perfectly well, because things have shifted, but it's still the same. It's the same attack against, you know, the people that is still trying to make a way in this society. And so while we celebrate today, we need to stay laser focused, as we do not want to leave this work to our granddaughters. This is our responsibility to complete this work, make a giant dent against the oppression of African people. And so I just want to say thank you for the show. Thanks to your mother for her continual work, and for all mothers, Black women in particular, to organize ourselves in a way in which we can have tremendous success for the majority of our people. So thank you so much.
Hey, thank you very much, Sister Connie. We appreciate your work and the work that you continue to do. And you are truly, truly, truly a mother of our community, because I've seen your children, your grandchildren, and the fact that you reach out to the children of the community. I've seen where you're not just talking about it, but you're about it. When you put together the reading program, I remember they were talking about the reading disparities that were being shared with the public by the school board at one point, and then there were some real issues, and now that's being addressed, and I just really, really appreciate it. It has been addressed because you put together that little reading program right there, right smack dab in Belmont Heights Estates. I remember that a few years back, and you continue to do that. I don't know if it stopped or what happened, but we want to thank you for continuing to do the work that you're doing, especially now. We know it's not difficult. It's not hard. I'm sorry, it's not easy being where you are, in your position as the chair of the CRA Community Advisory Committee. But we're going to keep on pushing. We're going to keep on pushing. So thank you, Sister Connie. Thank you so much. And happy Mother's Day to you, okay?
Thank you.
All right.
Thank you.
Ma?
Yes.
Okay, all right.
Let me say, Walter, that I'm very happy to have heard from Connie. I call her Ever Ready Connie.
That's right.
She's engaged with a battery that's charged, and she is ready for all situations, and she is responsive and involved, and we appreciate that. She is truly a mother of the community, and happy Mother's Day to her. Now, when the previous caller had indicated that one of the options that African-American or brown men can exercise when being stopped by the police is to ask, you know, to ask questions and find out what was the authority. And let me just say, as a black mama and as a black attorney, everything I am, I'm black, okay? You can't get past that, and I'm not trying to get past that. I'm using it to say that he probably could ask those questions and survive. Mm-hmm. You and others who look like you may not make it. Now, I want you to think about this. This is recently in the news.
Yes.
Do you remember the black male active duty
soldier
who was stopped?
Lieutenant, yes.
He was asking the same kinds of questions. Did they pay any attention to him?
Nope. They pepper sprayed him and took him out of the car.
I'm just saying that, and I'm not glad that it happened, but I'm glad that I have that example of what would likely happen. They just kept elevating. They just kept elevating, just making it worse and worse. Now, later on, I think somebody got in his ear and said, you know, you need to back up off that. So he was offering some options for him to consider, like, forgetting this, let's let this drop. But not totally analogous, but something similar to that happened with me when I was a young professional, and I was the only black and the only female manager at a savings and loan office here in Tampa, and the first in Hillsborough County. And when I got back to my office, I was over and I opened the office at the Ben West Shore. And that whole area was developing, it was growing, and I was out trying to get business accounts for my branch. When I came back, my all-white staff were female. They were pleased to let me know that the vice president had said that I was not to leave, and they love telling this. I was not to leave my office without getting permission from him. I was livid.
Yes.
Now, that's important. I was mad. And I was so angry that I really started shaking. I called down to the downtown, the head vice president at the downtown office. And I didn't tell him what had happened, but he could tell something had happened. And I said to him, I demand a meeting, but I don't want a meeting just with you, because I don't trust you anymore, and I trust any of the rest of them. So I want all of you there. Mm-hmm. Okay, you probably wouldn't want to say that to the policeman. But what I did is I knew I needed to calm down, so I drove from West Shore to Ybor to my parents' home and got a sedative from my mom, took half of a sedative to calm down. By the time I got down town for the meeting that I had called, demanded, I was calm. But let me tell you, not everybody who knows me, and Albert Bell, and, you know, he tries really hard. That's my bro. He tries to help me become more Christian-like in my conversation, because I'm a cussing woman, too. Okay, when it's necessary, I have to speak. Sometimes I speak Spanish. Yeah, sometimes I speak English. Sometimes I speak another language.
French.
Okay, no. But I'm working on it. But when I got down there, this is what I'm saying. All white men, and I walked in. Now, I know that the vice president, the head vice president, had told all of them there was something seriously wrong, because I was shaking with, I think I was angry, but my mother said we are just a bucket of water. I cry easily. I mean, when they told me that and I saw how it was being delivered and why it was being delivered and the whole intent. But when I got down there, what I said to them, we might be able to carve something out like this for African-American men who are stopped by police. And there's no real reason. You know, I said, I have a problem. and I need your help. Now, anybody who knows me knows that that was the Lord speaking. It was not Geraldine. And so, you know, well, how can we help me? Help you? What is the problem? I said, I don't know what the problem is. But what I know is there are 23 managers in this association, Savings and Loan Association. And I'm the only one, of course, I'm the only black and the only female. I'm the only one who is required to call the vice president of managers for permission to go out and solicit business. Hmm. Only one. Well, the major vice president had no idea. But my point is, number one, I prayed. Now, everybody is not into that, and that's on you. But it works for me, okay? I need to pray, okay? And I need to bring it down, and let me see how. What we got to do is we've got to survive. Right. Now, being dead, you can't tell your story.
Right.
And they don't mind shooting, especially if you're a black male. Because they have been informed that it's okay. They can get away with it. Mm-hmm. They have been getting away with it until now.
Exactly.
The only reason why children can do it on the street. Now, Mama, can I ask you this question? Because mm-hmm. I've always wanted to know somebody's answer to this. And, you know, when it comes to police officers, black cops don't shoot people like white cops do. And I'm just wondering, what is that attributed to? Is it just better raising? Is it like you just said, they do it because they can? Chauvin was able to choke out a person, a black man on the street, you know, while people watch. It didn't matter that people were recording him, but just the fact that they were there watching him, and he found it, you know, within his ability and his heart to do it.
Well, remember that that wasn't the first time that he had done that kind of thing, too.
That's true.
Mm. Okay? Mm. And they have had carte blanche since we have been here to treat especially black men. They did it to the black women, too, but especially black men that way and get away with it.
Right.
The federal government said, hands off to you people down in the South dealing with your niggas. You know what I'm saying? We're gonna keep this union together. Okay? And so they could do, and I have to be real careful, but the people used to be out in white sheets and they covered their faces. Mm-hmm. Now you find them in black or blue police uniforms, and there are some who are in higher positions. And I know it, and they know I know it. But you know, we have to work with what we have to work with. But they have been allowed to do that. Hands off. You guys deal with them, and we just want you to just stay in the union. So, and then now the union now is protective in the sense that they are members of the union, and they can get away with it, and they know they can.
And can't be held accountable.
Called qualified immunity.
Immunity, yeah.
But there you go. Why not? And I think that. And I could, now, you know, a couple of times in life I could be wrong, and I could be wrong on this one. But I think that the position might be appealing to a certain kind and the character of white male. Now, white female, too. I mean, with that, when that woman shot, some woman just recently shot and killed, was it the little boy, the 20-year-old? Mm-hmm.
She was screaming, taser, taser, but she was holding her gun the whole time.
Excuse me. Okay. All right. I'm just saying, because it can be, it's a certain kind of applicant who would look for a certain kind of position, and this is kind of analogous to, like, the priesthood. There's a certain kind of male who would look for that kind of cover for the kind of actions that they would anticipate being involved in, and they'd be taken care of. They'd be all right. They'd be
right.
Okay.
Yeah.
So here you got these people saying, okay, hey, I know where I can go, and I can kill some niggas, and ain't nothing gonna happen to me. And I can put a notch in my belt for having done it. And nothing's gonna, in fact, they'll be revered.
Wow. Wow.
So we have to, now, we're talking about the talk. We have to modify that talk for each generation. But as Sister Connie was saying, the actual underlying issue here is it's always the same.
Right.
Knock them off if you choose to, when you choose to, where you choose to. Wide open daylight on television, being recorded.
And right.
Yeah,
doesn't even matter. Doesn't matter.
I can do this. Hey, get away with it. He thought.
Wow. Wow. And that was bad. That was really bad.
You can have a conversation with them. You have to be very careful. And I thought that military guy was doing a good job with that. He was really rolling it, okay?
Yeah.
And I want me one of those cameras for my car. Yeah, I want a camera showing everything.
Right.
Because I'm telling you, I remember the police reports. The policemen who were there didn't even write the reports. They had somebody who wrote them, and they said they edited them. They wrote the reports. They weren't even there.
Oh my gosh.
So we have to be, we just have to be really careful and just try not to be in the situation. Now, I mean, you know, we were at home, and that cop came there, and this man was just driving. I don't know, something about a tag or something like that. And I, by myself, I was driving in Tallahassee, driving a truck, and a young white guy hit me in the back of my vehicle. We stopped. We called the police. And when the policeman, a young white male, came, he walked around my vehicle and he saw and I was a block away from my office, where my law office was and my newspaper office was, and there were other offices in the building, a block away. So the young guy who hit me and I had a conversation while we were waiting, so he knew that. He also knew that I'm a lawyer. The policeman came and he walked around and he had a different conversation with him. And then he said, so you have a problem, talking to me, you have a problem with your tail light? I said, no, I don't. He said, you could if I said you did. And so the young guy who hit me stepped in and tried to stop him. Look, leave her alone. He hadn't told him. Her office is right there on Park Avenue. She's a lawyer. Leave her alone. And he was trying to shut him up. But what I'm saying is, I didn't have a taillight problem for the police to give me a ticket. But he's going to make sure I had one.
Right.
Now, how was he going to do that?
Bust out your light.
Okay.
It's insane. What we've seen, Mom, it's just been insane. And yeah, I did have that moment with Walter where it was very tearful. It was tearful because I hated to have that conversation with him, although I knew that one day I was going to have to. And this day came, and it was a day where I was pulled over for something very silly because it was dusk. It wasn't even nighttime; it was dusk. And usually my lights come on automatically on my vehicle. They didn't at this point, and I would have had to turn them on. But we were out just having fun, and then the police pulled me over. And when they pulled me over, Walter was in a panic.
Mm-hmm.
Now, mind you, he was in a slight panic, and he said, okay, well, what do I do? And I said, listen, son, listen to me very carefully. Keep your hands on the dashboard. Put your phone down. Do not reach for it for any reason at all. Don't reach for anything. You just keep your hands on the dashboard. Do not move for any reason.
But that makes us almost like second-class citizens.
Listen, man. No, but after it was over with, when it happened, the guy came to the car. He saw what was happening. And he said, hey, listen, man, you guys don't have to do that. You don't have to do that. And I was like, listen, I told him, and he listened to every word. Walter did not disobey what I said. He kept his hands on that dashboard the entire time. He did not move.
Mm-hmm.
And when I finished, I said, good for you, son. Thank you very much. When it was over with, we had to drive around for a little bit so I could cool off and gain my composure. But I remember going, you know, having a conversation with him, and a tear rolled down my eye, down my cheek as I was telling him, you know, what happened and why it happened and things like that, because he didn't know. He didn't know why it happened. I didn't even know why the guy was pulling me over, truthfully.
Mm-hmm.
But the fear.
Yes.
The fear that we should not have.
That contributes to hypertension.
Yes. I'm
telling you.
Absolutely. Listen, Mom, let me get this phone call. Let me get this phone call that's come in. Can you get it on your end, Billy?
Oh, yeah. And Mom's right. Going to have to call back. I thought she was.
Oh, gosh. That's all right. Hello. Welcome to the Sunday Forum. Let's see what we got here. Hello.
Hi, this is Chris. Just one more time briefly. Is that since your mom, Geraldine, mentioned that you need to have cameras. Yes, you need to have as many cameras as you can, redundant. Footage from several different angles and hopefully streaming online so that you can tell an officer or other assailant that you can't destroy the evidence. You can't ask me to delete it. It's already on the web. So, you know, you can't stop this. You can't take back what you've already done and said. So I think you can. And that's always helped me to just, you know, for the cops to say adios or... another good thing I've seen people say is I don't answer questions. I've seen a lot of videos of people telling cops I don't answer. And cops say, okay, great, have a nice day, bye-bye. Another quick thing is that since COVID-19, Sheriff Walsieri here in Pinellas admitted that arrests have been down from about 130 per day to 30 per day. So then he's admitting that because you can take care of these things with notices to appear that carry the same weight and effect as Walsieri mentioned, that you don't need to cram people into jail and risk infection. So he's admitting that we don't need to arrest 70% of the people who had been arrested.
Lose
them. Yeah.
Yeah, you're right. We're trying to make sure we don't lose these calls. Call lines are lit up. Chris, thank you very much, man. Mom, we back.
That you, Mom?
Rebecca, Mom.
Hello?
Go ahead, caller.
Oh, nope, caller. You're not my mom. Hey, how you doing? How you doing? Welcome to the Sunday Forum.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, it's a wonderful show. I didn't catch your name, but the female speaker you had talking for a while, wonderful, really compelling story.
Oh, that's my mom.
Geraldine.
Attorney Geraldine Williams.
Amazing.
Yes. Thank you.
And
thank
the
you.
Way she tells it is so compelling. It's beautiful. The question one of your, I think one of your co-hosts asked was about, is it a difference between how police officers are raised? And I agree. It's probably 100% that. I think there are a lot of great police officers that were raised to treat Americans with decency, dignity. And I think there were a lot of police officers, unfortunately, who were raised to look down on certain Americans. Yeah. And I think that if they were smart, they would, you know, the police departments and the DAs and so on would screen out those officers that just aren't fit for service if they have such a low opinion of their fellow citizens.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
And I also think it's similar to the Republican Party who continue at this point to continue to cut down on voters, to try to quash people from voting as if the American people are not fit to run their own country,
right,
make their decisions. And I think that should automatically, in anybody's decent mind, illegitimize that party as a viable party for a democratic country. But, you know, our history is a different story. I know that.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Well, you know, I have to wonder who gives these people power, too. The governor of Florida just decided to write a bill that says even if you run protesters who are Black Lives Matter protesters down in the street, you have immunity.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. It's really it's valuing a certain, it's really similar to what I saw in the movie Hotel Rwanda.
One group
was calling another group the most despicable names, instead of recognizing that it's a, this, you're talking about a fellow human being right here, not a, you know, not somebody.
Then a cockroach.
Treated with cockroaches behaviors.
Yeah, they refer to them as cockroaches, the Hutu and the Tutsi.
Yeah, it wasn't that horrible. Yeah. And I was thinking that that is, you saw that in Nazi Germany. You saw that in a lot of the history of our southern states in the U.S. and northern states, too. It was throughout the U.S. history, too.
Yeah, the northern states are not immune from
American.
Are not immune from that type of behavior at all. I mean, you know, things like no-knock, once that was enacted, even before no-knock. I mean, you could walk into somebody, you know, into a black person's house and just have carte blanche, just knock yourself out, just start shooting or whatever, and there's total with total impunity. But hey, man, thank you. I appreciate your call, brother. Let's see, did mom get back? Is mom?
You mom? Caller, go ahead.
Hello, Walter.
Oh Lord, it's Daryl. Hey Daryl, what's going on, man?
I want to say your happy Mother's Day to your mother, my mother, Hattie Bronson. I just want to say her interview, it hurts me to my heart, but you know what? It's the truth, America. And what I wanted to say, based upon what you, hurt you to your heart about what you were talking about last Sunday, is four things. There are four things that America respects: race, meaning white people, power and authority, and money. That's why I said what I said about money. If they had to really, if it really was hurting them in their wallet, these cops killing people like they did that young man in North Carolina, Sandra Bland, what's the name in Kentucky, then you will see a change, because they'll respect money. I hate to put it that way. Yeah, I'm a Christian, but you know what? This is America, and America does not want to live, do not want to deal with her history, the true history. And thank you so much to Walter's mom for telling that story. It's the story a lot of moms have told. Yeah. And you tell stories about Emma Till. I'm a hush and I'm going to get off the air, but it's the truth, America.
Yeah.
It's the truth you do not want to hear. You were not taught in school, but it's the truth. And you better hear this. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. And you better hear the rest of that scripture. And the fruit thereof you will enjoy. You ain't going to want to eat that salad, but guess what? God says you planted it, it's coming up, you're going to eat it. Walter, Billy, y'all have a good day.
Thank you.
Thank you, man. Appreciate your call, brother. And here's mom right here. Yep. Mom?
Nope, not mom.
Not mom. Okay, not mom. Okay. If you're there, mom, we're going to find you. We've got to find you in the lines here. How you doing? Welcome to the Sunday Forum.
Yeah, this is Nick from Occupy Tampa. I just wanted to, I definitely wanted to give your mom a happy Mother's Day.
Thank you, man.
And my mother a happy Mother's Day. And I'm literally driving, delivering food in my car, crying, listening to these stories. Because, like, this is why white allies show up, like myself. I'm a stupid white privileged kid, but my mama raised me right. I've never looked down on anybody. But just to hear these stories makes me cry all the time. And this is why people like me show up to Black Lives Matter, to be in front of the protesters, between the police, to happily take that tear gas and pepper spray when it comes down. And this is why every time I see somebody pulled over, I pull over and I start filming. And when the cops tell me to get away, I sit on the sidewalk and I'm not leaving. I'm going to film this to make sure. And that's all I wanted to say. And happy Mother's Day. I'm glad my mother raised me right. And I know your mother raised you right. And you all, happy Mother's Day.
Hey, thanks, Nick. We appreciate you, brother. Thank you so much. Thank you for all you do, brother. All right, let's see if we can find mom.
This mom?
Mom?
Not mom.
Not mom. Welcome to the Sunday Forum.
Hello, is I'm on?
Yeah.
Hey, hey, what's going on, man? Ron?
Yeah, this is the Ron, man.
What's up, man? How you doing? Happy Mother's Day.
I'm walking on the base for a minute. And I heard the conversation. You know, I can't handle it when everybody else get in on it. But I think what has happened, the guy just spoke. Let me tell you something, buddy. For the good of America, somebody needs to take out the trash. The trash has been taken out for a while. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, so it's not
that this is going on and it keep going on and nobody won't do nothing. It's that it's a bunch of trash here. And we ain't took the trash out, so the trash keeps coming up as debris and everybody knows and it's thanking God nostril as well as ours. So it's incumbent that we take trash out when it's necessary. I don't know how and what is proposed to do about the trash, but the dichotomy is just too diverse. I mean, on one hand, you arresting rioters who break in and do all this, and you got them on video. You're going to use that video to do this. But in the other, look at the juxtaposition, they are doing a worse and a more atrocious act by killing a human being live, destroying a life, mm-hmm. and you can't see it? That's trash to me, man.
Yeah,
that's straight-up trash. And I'd just like to say to all the mothers, I'm with y'all children. We raise our children right. Somebody ain't raised their children right, and it's called trash, okay? I'm sorry to tell you that. That's the new term for me. It's trash. When they start talking GOP, oh, you talking about the trash? See, I'm not talking about y'all no Republicans no more. Y'all is trash, man. Straight up trash. And that's all the wrong man got to put on it today. God. Yeah.
Thank you, Ron.
Somebody take the trash.
That's all the Ron got to put on it. Hey, man. Hey, appreciate you, Ron. We'll call you that, too, the Ron, in third person. Third person. Hey, man. Thank you, brother.
Thank y'all for the show, man.
All right, man. All right.
All right.
I think we got Mom right here in this one. Right.
Hello.
There we go. Hey, Mom.
Hey.
Sorry about that.
Sorry. I've been listening.
So you see all the support you got there on this one, right?
Well, I see the support that we have for doing something about what is not right. And let me tell you something, boys. This has been around. It's not just driving while black. When black men were in buggies, they would grab them and do what they wanted to do with them. When they were walking or running, they stopped them. And whether they were free or not, they just have had that kind of authority.
Right.
That's craziness.
So this is not new.
No, this is what it grew out of, actually.
It changes from generation to generation. So that's the underlying issue. Then the circumstances change.
Now,
we have to be ever mindful.
Now, Mom, let me ask you a question. There's... the story that a few people know. I tell people this from time to time, but you also are a journalist. You're not just an attorney, you're a journalist. Now, you have traveled the world and in most impressive situations, very impressive situations.
Well, thank you.
But but the one in particular, I just want to go back to college days again. Now, you were one of the first 7 students to actually integrate the University of Florida, correct?
No. I was one of the first 14. The first 7
okay.
arrived in 1962.
Okay.
I graduated Old Middleton High School mm-hmm. in 1963.
Okay.
So I was among the first 14 because they allowed 7 more in. They did a little bit at a time, and they did fewer than that mm-hmm. over at Florida State. Because they allowed 1 in the first year. We did have 7. But there were 7, and then they brought in 7 more.
Okay. Now, you had to endure some things there as well, but one of the things that was most impressive is how you overcame and the things that are happening now in terms of interviews that you're getting that's truly impressive because of the fact that for the longest time of all, I saw this award on the wall in the hallway, right, at home. And, you know, growing up, I saw this award, and I passed this award all the time, the William Randolph Hearst Award.
Oh, okay.
Right? So this award was given to you. You earned this award as a journalism student.
Top journalist. Mm-hmm.
In
the country. I was number 2 in the country.
Wow.
Impressive. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Wow. During what time period?
All black schools all black, because when I went up to the University of Florida in 1963, for me, that was the first time I was in a truly desegregated environment. That campus has 2,000 acres, and it had 14,000 undergraduate students and then another 8,000 or so graduate students, so somewhere around 24,000, and there were 14 of us. So I had a lot to prove, not only to myself, but I had to prove it to my family and to my schools, the whole community. We were really on stage. But let me tell you about a situation that happened 4 years after that, when I did receive the award.
Because something happened when you got the award.
Yeah, let me tell you about that.
Okay.
And I won't make it long. But it showed me that, and I didn't really understand the gravity of it until, I mean, decades later. Honestly, I did not know. I won, and one of the stories that I wrote dealt with the fact that there were my journalism class went to put out the newspaper, and I'm the only black, remember? And so there were my classmates and my professor and a white attorney. And when the girl came, this was in 1967, the Civil Rights Act was passed in 1964. When she came around to put down the place settings, she put down one for everyone except me. I was furious. I got up and I left. My professor asked, "Where's Geraldine?" And they said, they told him what happened. Like, he didn't see it. Of course, he was busy. He didn't see it. Okay. And so he went and told the editor of the newspaper, the local newspaper, and he said, "Tell Geraldine to come to me." He found me and asked me to go in and speak with them, and I did. And he said, "I cannot fully appreciate what you experienced, but I know what you did. But I know that you are angry." And he said, "That anger is okay. You carried it for a while. That's as far as you need to carry it. Now do something about it." I said, "What you want me to do?" He said, "I want you to write a 3-part series, and I will publish the 3-part series." And that would be town-gown relationship, what's happening on the university campus versus what's happening off, community, the police, community relationship, and public accommodations. And I did that. And that was my final submission to the Hearst Corporation Foundation so that I could compete for the national honors. And my professor had asked me to write about what it's like to be black on Saturday night. And I was offended. I said, "Now, Mr. Cunningham, if that's what I have to submit to be considered, I needed one more article to submit, and I had won all along. I think there were 6 total. I said, I refuse to do it, and I would not." I said, "No, it's like my uncovering an existence for the benefit of white people to look in and have fun, but I just can't do that." And I wouldn't. But then this happened, and I submitted that, and I won. So that meant that I could compete on the national level. And what I didn't do, now when I put on my shoes, I'm sure to tie up my shoestrings, I didn't put Gainesville, Florida, you see? But that's okay. They treated me like I was the absolute winner. I went up to Washington, D.C., and the Guy Kreiser from Texas went up. He was the first place winner. And I was honored in the U.S. Senate chambers by the Vice President of the United States. So the senators are seated there, and so I'm from Florida. So he called on my senior senator, and he had to ask him several times to come up. You could hear a rat piss on cotton. I mean, it was quiet in the Senate. I didn't know what was happening. The senator finally, and Senator Spencer Holland finally came up, and he said, he explained to him what was happening, who I am, and what that meant, and all that. And so Spencer Holland stood there, and he may have said something. I'm not going to take that away from him, that he did or did not. I can't even remember. But what he wouldn't do is he would not shake my hand, and he would not take a picture with me. Now, this man is former governor of the state of Florida. This man graduated law from the University of Florida, so he's a fellow Gator alumnus, but he would not. Now, what I found out much later is that he was one of 101 congressmen and senators who signed the Southern Manifesto to overturn any benefits to blacks that were gained through Brown v. Board of Education. That included blacks going to formerly all-white schools and the integration of public accommodations. So I represented what this man was dead set against. And he could not handle it. Now, if I had known, I would have had a whole different little attitude. But I didn't even know. Well, what is the issue here? So there is this picture of me with the Vice President of the United States, Mr. William Randolph Hearst, the second, and this other white man. I said, well, if that's not Spencer Hall, they said, nope, that's not Spencer Hall. I said, so who is it? They found out the man's name, and they said he was a staff member who stepped in because Holland refused to stand and take a picture with me.
Wow.
And I was the first black in history to win on the national level, to the point that when the Hearst Foundation had its 50th anniversary, it invited me to their 50th anniversary to be honored, and they sent someone from San Francisco over to Tampa. I was back in Tampa by then. Tampa to shadow me for 3 days so that I could, you know, they could have this video of me up in New York City. I'm there having dinner at this table. I didn't know those people. And this woman said, Geraldine, I said, yes, I'm turning, looking at the picture of me within all. And she said, I am a member of the family. And I said, you are a member of the family. I said, that means that you're a member of the Hearst family? She said, yes. I said, are you saying that man standing up there in that picture with me, that's your daddy? She said, yes. It wasn't Patty, but it was Patty's sister.
Oh, wow.
But, you know, I feel good that I was able to take my two fingers, not just one, two fingers, and just stuff them into Spencer Holland's eyes. Because he could, and I'm from Hillsborough County. Guess where he's from? Next door, Polk County.
Right. Okay. Right.
Yeah.
Right. He couldn't handle it. It was just unbelievable that I would come from his alma mater,
right,
and be up there representing what he's saying he was against.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm. I mean, he was one of the staunch.
Yes, he was.
Segregationist. He was against Brown versus. He condemned it when the Supreme Court made in 1954.
Yes.
He condemned it, Brown versus Board of Education. Let's go to, we have one call. Caller, you got to make it 30 seconds, okay? You got to go directly to your call. Hello, welcome to the Sunday Forum.
Yeah, what's going on, Walt? I don't know if I can do it in 30 seconds.
What's going on, brother? All right.
Yeah, but I'm gonna do the best I can. I want to say, I mean, a lot of things been said. This question about whether these white people who shoot Africans were raised right or not. Listen, they were raised right. They were raised to work diligently for their own national interests that do not represent the interests of African people, the national interests of African people. So white people are doing everything they can. White people who join the domestic army of the police are doing everything they can, everything they're supposed to do to promote the white national agenda. It's African people's responsibility to do everything we have to do to push our African national agenda. That's one. Two, tears ain't enough. Sympathy ain't enough. Charity ain't enough. We need solidarity from white people. If they're going to unite with us, they have to unite with the national liberation of African people, meaning white people need to go to their communities and win white people to paying reparations, win white people to black community control of the police, win white people to return the stolen land and stolen resources to African people and other indigenous people around the world. Also, passion and emotion are incredible motivators, but they too are not enough. I appreciate what your mother said about how she would respond, how she thinks she would respond if something would have happened to her grandson. I know what it's like to be in that position. I just want to say, we don't only need black liberation mamas and black liberation grandmamas who kill bandits who harm their particular loved ones. We need to organize a black liberation army that will kill bandits who dare harm any African anywhere on earth. I know that was a little bit more than 30 seconds, but I appreciate you allowing me to share.
Hey, man. Thank you, brother. Thank you very much, brother. We appreciate that. Ma?
Yes.
All right. That was life.
Uh-huh.
And what any comments?
Yeah, he's saying
I say ditto.
You said ditto.
That the police were raised to do what they did.
Yes, it's true. But let me remind everybody that, you know, I had to grow. And they say, you know, you always try to find you a good white man. And I said, good white man? Are there any? Now, I'm just saying, if you look back into history at the organization of the NAACP, I think there were 10. 8 of them were white. I'm just saying. We need to realize that we didn't come from where we came without the help. Underground what's the name?
Carrie Tubman.
Tubman taking us underground to Canada. Those people were white people who were providing the places for us to stay. So, I have to go to the Lord in prayer and say, okay, thank you for reminding me that all white people are not bad. And also, parenthetically, I'm going to say all black people are not good. Anyway, we have to balance that out and be sure that we're working with people who are in the same, who have the same sense of what is good and what is right. I was so pleased to see when they were out marching after Floyd's death, a little white girl tugged at the coat of Reverend. The minister who works with them, they call him Reb. Can't think of his name. And she said, you know, she was out marching, and she understood because her parents had explained to her what they were marching for. And I said, you know, we have come a long way. And even when they were marching up in Selma, the person who was decapitated from the blow of a weapon was a white woman. Her family was there when we went back for the 50th anniversary. So we can't just go in all black. We have to understand not only that we need some good white people, but also that there are some.
Right.
So that's the balance that takes a little time for us to work on, and it takes more time for some than it does for others.
Okay, all right. Hey, Ma. Well, hey, listen, we want to thank you for coming on, giving us this Mother's Day perspective. We appreciate you being here on the Sunday Forum, Ma, and giving us this historical perspective of everything that you have done, your journey, and helping us to get through things just a little bit better and making things just a little easier for us to understand and push forward with our agendas and things that we need for our community to be better than what it is.
Well, Walter, it's a blessing to be here and to be clothed in my right mind, to be able to listen, respond, and contribute. Thank you so very much for all of your good wishes, and happy Mother's Day to all mothers of all sorts.
All right, all right. Hey, everybody, thank you very much for joining us for Mother's Day. This is Walter L. Smith II, the voice of the Tampa Bay area, along with members of Fourth Estate. My main man, Mabili, is in the house with us today.
Yeah, yeah.
And we want to thank you for joining us this spectacular Mother's Day. It's been a great honor to have my mother on air today to talk about these things. I think I might do this every year.
Oh, okay, Walt.
Hey, listen. There's a lot to talk about. A lot to talk about, Mom. A lot to talk about. So, hey, listen. Thank you, everybody, for joining us here on the Sunday Forum. And as always, from my voice to the radio waves, to the hearts and the minds of the people, we love you. And there's absolutely nothing you can do about it here on the Sunday Forum. Peace.
Your views, your values. This is WMNF Tampa, 88.5 FM.
Okay. WMNF, 88.5 Tampa, Sarasota, St. Pete.